Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. April 16th is Holocaust Remembrance Day. There's going to be an event hosted by the San Diego Jewish Federation and survivors of the Holocaust. And today I'm very honored to have with us the son of Holocaust survivors, Bob Ganz. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So you have created a really moving educational project that we're going to be talking about today. It's called The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers, the story of Greta and Ruby. Tell us who Greta and Ruby were and how you found out their story.
Well, I'm the son of Greta and Rudy, and I would like to make an offer to anyone who is listening that I would be thrilled to be able to do for your church, for your organization, for your Rotary Club, for your school, what I have done on numerous prior occasions, and that is present a 55-minute slideshow where I speak about the slides, which describes what happened to my parents, where they grew up, how they grew up, what happened to them when the Nazis rolled into Austria, and through the life-saving kindness and courage of strangers, how they survived and why I am existing today and have myself children and grandchildren. I want to tell this story wherever and whenever I can, free of charge, and I'll bring the equipment, I'll do everything. I would do it for three reasons. In part so that people learn about what happened, but it's more important because of the lessons that can be learned from what happened some years ago, which are very relevant today.
Absolutely. You have mentioned that when you've done this presentation to young people, many of them are really not familiar with the Holocaust.
Yeah, recent surveys have shown that the younger generation, and by that I'm talking anywhere from teenagers to 40, 50-year-olds, there's tremendous amount of ignorance out there. And okay, I understand it happened a long time ago, but there are lessons to be learned that are very pertinent in today's world, and that's why I want to go around and talk about through this slideshow presentation, which people have said it's so dramatic that it can and should be made into a movie.
I agree. And we're going to be putting the whole thing up on our news site at eastcountymagazine.org, so you'll be able to watch the entire slideshow there. But Bob, can you tell us a little bit about your family's history? They were Jewish when the Nazis came to power, and what happened to them?
Well, I guess one thing that people don't realize, and I was back in Linz, Austria, their hometown, just this past September, and it was very, very apparent then. The Jews were not in one little section of Linz. They were integrated into the community. They were part of the business community, the school community, the volunteer organizations. My great-grandfather was a physician to the Royal Court of Austria.
Wow.
Nonetheless, when the Nazis rolled in, all the Jews were immediately rounded up, thrown into jail, ultimately into concentration camps. Why? Because they were Jewish.
Yeah.
Others were thrown into concentration camps as well, and it was awful, horrific place. It's unimaginable what happened to them.
We're going to play a little excerpt here from the show for you, the presentation he does, the slideshow, talking about Kristallnacht, a night of terror targeting Jewish people,
during which most Jews in Austria had their possessions and their money taken away, that is, stolen by the Nazis, were kicked out of their homes, which were then taken over by the Nazis, were prevented from operating or even entering into their businesses, which they had established and run successfully for decades, and were subject to search at any time, arrest at any time, beatings at any time, tortures at any time, and imprisonment at any time. Suicides were not uncommon. And Uncle Vic, he had some good friends who just couldn't take anymore. In October 1938, all Jews had to get the J stamp, J for Jewish, of course. Here you see my dad's original, my original passport. As I hold this, I get chills. It's chilling to this day to see the Nazi stamps and insignias. And then came November 1938. On November 8th, my dad and his two brothers, Uncle Vic and Uncle Gus, were all arrested again, thrown into Linz jail cells number 30, 31, and 32. November 9th, 1938, the night of the broken glass, Kristallnacht. That night, Jewish homes, hospitals, and schools throughout Germany and Austria were ransacked and demolished in a frenzy orchestrated by the Nazis. 7,000 Jewish businesses were destroyed or seriously damaged. Beatings, killings, rapes were widespread. 30,000 Jewish men were immediately arrested, thrown into jail, or taken right away to concentration camps. November 9 and 10, we call that synagogue in Linz. It was ransacked, burned, and destroyed, as were hundreds of additional synagogues throughout Germany and Austria. Uncle Vic writes in his memoir about the people who were inside the synagogue at the time. I won't go into it now, but you can imagine, or maybe you can. It's hard to imagine. Recall this, Uncle Gus. That was the last wedding ever held in that temple. On November 10, my mother's father was likewise arrested, thrown into the same jail where the three brothers were. This is a letter, I'm going to show you in a moment, a letter, a detailed letter that my grandfather wrote to his son, who is now in Palestine, to Hansel. He wrote it in March 10 of 1939. I'll explain how that happened in a little while. Whoops, what happened there? There we go. Detailed German letter. This is in part what it says about the jail. First, they took us to the police station and then to SS hell. There, they tortured us for 3 days. Some were beaten to the point where they were unrecognizable. 53 of us were then thrown into a small cell meant for 16, and we were only allowed to sleep every other night. November 12, German decree, all Jewish businesses were to be permanently closed. November 15, 1938. November 15, 1938. Wintertime becoming serious in Austria. 3 a.m. in the morning. The jail cells slam open. The Gans brothers and others were marched outside in their street clothes, marched to a flatbed truck, ordered to get on the truck, and in Uncle Vic's words, packed like standing sardines, freezing. It was sleeting, rain and snow. They feared, and after many hours of transport, they ultimately knew that their worst fears were coming true. They were soon to enter Dachau.
So what happened after that, again, is people were thrown into concentration camps. My father and his two brothers were thrown into concentration camp. My mom was put on a train at the age of 18, leaving her parents behind. She waved goodbye, sadly, to her mom at the train station. Her father was already thrown in jail. She was put on a train, went off to England to try to survive there, and she did as a maid. My dad, through the courage and kindness of strangers, through miracles, got out, ended up getting on a ship going from Genoa, Italy to Shanghai, and was living in Shanghai for about close to a year waiting for permission to get into the United States.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But first, I know it's disturbing, but I think the young people need to know this. What can you tell us about the conditions inside Dachau when he was there?
Think of the worst torture that you can imagine. Better yet, don't. Just fleetingly think of it. I was at Mauthausen concentration camp last September, which is just outside of Linz. My dad was in Dachau. I had 2.5 hours to tour it. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I didn't have any more than 2.5 hours. The contraptions that the Nazis made for torture, it's indescribable. It is indescribable. Yeah. And it was...
And these are people who did nothing wrong. They weren't accused of any crimes. It was just because of their religion. But they weren't the first or the only. And I think this is one of the lessons to be learned, that if one group starts getting targeted and no one speaks out, you might be next. Tell us some of the other groups that were there.
No question about it. Gypsies, The Nazis didn't like gypsies. Homosexuals, the Nazis didn't like homosexuals. Political opponents of the Nazis, they were thrown into Dachau. Anybody who didn't follow the Nazi line, the Nazi propaganda, if they had any breath of opposition, they were thrown into Dachau concentration camp. And, you know, one of the lessons I try to teach through my slideshow is if you see something that's wrong, say something. If you see bullying, speak up. If somebody needs help, give them a hand. Because as some very famous people have written, but I can't paraphrase it properly, but basically, if you don't do something, they'll come next. They could come next for you.
Absolutely. Now, Dachau later became an extermination camp, as were other concentration camps. My own great-grandparents died in one of those concentration camps. Your father was more fortunate. He was one of the very few, actually it's the first story I've heard of someone who actually was able to get out of the concentration camp, you know, before the war ended. Tell us that remarkable story about how he was able to leave and find his freedom.
Well, in the late 1930s, the concentration camps, certainly Dachau, it was an awful place, and they starved you, and they worked you to death, and they tortured people, and many committed suicide, but it was not yet an extermination camp. They had not yet set up the gas chambers. They had not yet just willy-nilly killed everybody. If you could get out, they would let you get out as long as you got out of the country within 24 hours. But when you're a prisoner in Dachau, how do you get out? How do you get the train tickets? How do you get permission from other countries? How do you get the money? How do you get the ability to go from one place to another, all within 24 hours? The reason my parents were able to do it, it's my father in this case, and his two brothers, was because they had sisters who had not yet been rounded up. They went to the various embassies. A miracle sort of happened, I guess, sad for a family that decided to not go on the particular ship leaving from Genoa, going to Shanghai. They decided not to. Three tickets became available. And my dad and his two brothers, it's a long story, but through a series of amazing circumstances, people who helped them at risking their own lives, they were let free as long as they got on a train within 24 hours. A very dramatic part, people have said, make this into a movie. A very dramatic part was that they had to get from Dachau to the Vienna train station within a certain amount of time. They got there just 15 minutes before the train left. If they didn't get on the train, they would have been rearrested, thrown into Dachau. End of story, and I wouldn't be here.
Wow. And then from Shanghai, they eventually made it to New York?
They made it first to California. My dad made it to New York. Meanwhile, my mom had gone from Cambridge, London, where she was a maid, into London, lived through months of the Blitzkrieg. For those who are familiar with it, you know this, but Nazi bombs rained down on London for months, day and night. Amazingly, she was, and many Londoners were, able to live through that, although many were killed, of course. Mm-hmm. She had to wait a long time to get permission to come into the United States. Mm-hmm. My mom and my dad, they were boyfriend and girlfriend in Linz, Austria, separated for 7 years, reunited in New York City, 3 days later got married, and not too long after, mm-hmm. my sister was born. Her name is Irene. Irene means peace.
Wow. What a wonderful story. Now, your dad was helped out by someone in the Bulova Watch Factory. You got a letter there. I think you're going to share a little excerpt.
Yes. My dad came to America penniless. He had nothing. He barely spoke the language. But he was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bulova, chairman and CEO of Bulova Watch Company.
Amazing.
And Mr. Bulova granted him an interview in his Rockefeller Center office and gave my dad a job. It was a factory job, but it was a job. And my dad was able to support himself, his wife. He was able to bring his parents over, who were sickly. And so they were able to survive. If I may I read one section of this letter?
Yeah, please read. This is an excerpt of the letter that your father wrote to Mr. Bulova, thanking him for giving him this job and this opportunity.
My dad wrote this letter when I was 5.5 years old, 15 years to the day of the interview that Mr. Bulova granted him. And I never can get, never, I've read this letter out loud dozens of times, and I can't get through it without becoming emotional. So forgive me if I do. I'll try not to. At the end of the letter, it's a one-page letter, he writes to Mr. Bulova, "God bless you, sir. Anytime a question arises about our beloved America, what it stands for, and how her people are inspired by our democratic way of thinking, I think of you, Mr. Bulova. It was real Americanism in practice, not theory, when you, in your high and demanding position, took time to listen to me and give me help. As a father, I try to bring up my children to become good American citizens, holding you, Mr. Bulova, as a shining example of a real American, sorry, with my heartfelt thanks, and also in the name of my family, respectfully yours, Rudolph Gans."
That's so, so heartwarming to hear. And you yourself have taken that message to heart, and you're giving back now as, you know, working with the group Welcome Home. We did an earlier interview that aired on the radio about that, but it's an organization helping refugees, you know, just like your parents once were, the newcomers to America right here in San Diego.
There are so many new Americans now in San Diego. Welcome Home tries to help those who arrive here, residents who are now legally residing in San Diego. Many of them were Afghanistanians who helped Americans during the Afghan War. Many of them are American, and we try to give them funds so that they can get a job, and tools for the job, and bus passes so that they can go to school or to their place of employment. And I feel passionate about that because I know that type of assistance has generational impact and does tremendous good for the community as a whole.
Listeners, if you just tuned in, we are speaking today with Bob Gans, who, as you heard, helps refugees through the Welcome Home program. But today we're speaking about the educational program that he's created to help people learn more about the Holocaust. It's called The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers, the story of Greta and Rudy, that's his parents, who escaped the Holocaust to come to America. And he's willing to make this available to any organization, schools, churches, any other group that would like to hear it. And it's a powerful message that I think we all need to hear so that this will never happen again to any people anywhere. I'm going to give you the last word here, and then we're going to end the show with an excerpt out of your presentation, your closing words. But Bob, what else would you like people to know that we haven't mentioned?
I would like you to know why I want to do this wherever I can. I have three purposes in delivering this story. One, to inspire those who view this presentation to act when they see wrong, and to help those who need assistance. Second, to help teach and thereby help folks remember what happened 80 years ago so that it never happens again to any minority group. And third, to help honor those who suffered through the Holocaust and its consequences. If you would allow me to come and personalize this, I do a message before the slideshow, making it relevant to current events. I give some lessons after it. The whole thing takes roughly an hour. If you can give me an hour of time up to your organization, feel free to contact me. You can contact me through, I'll give you my email address, BobGans7@gmail.com.
Yeah, and Gans is G-A-N-S, so it's BobGans7@gmail.com. And, you know, it's the next generation now carrying this on. Most of the Holocaust survivors are gone now. I understand your mother just recently passed away at
the age of 102.5. She lived in New York for quite a while, came here at the age of 91, was very vibrant for many years, And a year ago in December, she sadly, but lived an amazing life. She may be, by the way, the only person in the world who was present not only for the amazing spontaneous VE Day, Victory in Europe Day's Victory in Europe celebration that happened at Trafalgar Square, but also, by chance, was in New York City when the war ended in Japan for VJ Day for the amazing celebration that happened at Times Square.
Yeah.
She was at both.
A newlywed there. Yeah, what a wonderful love story, a wonderful success story, and really triumphing of love, triumphing over hate, Bob. And we are going to end our show. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice. And now we're going to end by playing the concluding words of this very powerful presentation of yours, The Life-Saving Kindness and Courage of Strangers.
Your heart, your conscience, tells you what's right and what's wrong. Follow your inner voice. Be active. Be engaged. Stand up to bullies. Help those less fortunate than you. Reach out. Volunteer. Recognize and appreciate all the blessings that you have every day. I do. I really do. War not at your doorstep. A roof over your head. Freedom from tyranny. Supermarkets jammed with food from all over the world. And perhaps most important of all, the opportunity to help your fellow man and woman. Recognize and appreciate all the blessings we have every day, and do your bit to help make the world a better place for everyone.